Good morning. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and my name is Wynn Greer. It's good to be in the studio today. Good to see Dave Blanks with us. How are you, Dave?
Hey, doing good, buddy. I hope you are.
Yes, doing all right. Pretty day outside. I'm liking the fall feel.
I got some yellow jackets I've been dealing with at my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a ton of fun. But the grapes are good.
I guess they get ill this time of year.
I think, yeah. A little persnickety. They're in, like, my door. Like in the frame of my door.
Right.
Yeah. But aside from that, life's great.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Some people have more problems
than that.
That's
true. So, if that's the worst of it, then I'll take it.
You'll be all right.
I'll
so
be fine. Yeah.
It is good to be here today, and we appreciate each and every person that listens in. If you're a new listener, we'd like to welcome you to the radio broadcast. This is brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church over on Barrage Creek Road in Vilas. They sponsor the show. I'm the pastor there. And we always try to invite folks out. If you don't have a home church, we'd love for you to come and be with us. The Blessings of Liberty is rooted in God's Word and our American history and what our forefathers have said, and just one little voice trying to get folks back to the fundamentals and seeing civics, I guess would be a good way to put it, from the light of the Bible, and getting us back to our foundation, our good foundation of God's Word and the Constitution, and that's what we're all about. I did want to make a announcement. First of all, let me say, be sure and stay with us. I'm going to talk today about what the Bible has to say about taxes, so that'll be interesting. I found some things I've never found before.
And I was surprised by that, because you've probably read the Bible a few times.
I've read it, but I've never looked at it from this light. So we're going to share with you today some things along those lines. Also, I wanted to make a couple of announcements. One, I'd like to invite you out this Sunday night. This is Fifth Sunday Night, and we are hosting the Fifth Sunday Night Fellowship. And this is several different independent Baptist churches in the county that gets together on the fifth Sunday nights of the year. So we'd love for you to come out this Sunday night at 7 o'clock to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Brother Tommy Worth, he is a young pastor from Ashe County, and he's going to be with us, and we're looking forward to having him. I haven't heard him preach, but I've heard a lot of good things about him, so I'm looking forward to that. And also, I'd like to invite you to listen to or to look, check out maybe the church website where you can listen to the Blessings of Liberty and also sermons from Sunday mornings at Mount Lebanon. It's found at mountlebanonbc.org, and it's mtlebanonbc.org. And so we've had a lot of people listen in. I preached a message a couple of weeks ago on the subject of how to pray for traitors. And a lot of people have listened in. I've got a lot of comments from that. I wish every Christian person would listen to that message. It'll open up a whole new light on the subject of, somebody says, we ought to pray for our leaders. Yes, we should. But look at it. You just have to listen to the message, and I want to encourage you to do that. And then there's several others on there as well. We always start out on the Blessings of Liberty. I have a devotion from the book of Proverbs, so we'll go ahead and do that today. And Dave, I was looking over there. The calendar's gone from off the wall. But
it's the 24th.
It's the 24th,
today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last Tuesday was the 17th, and I read a Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. And last week I talked about that verse in light of present day events, of how that Mr. Obama and many others in our what you might call politics, Congress, different people, Mayor Bloomberg up in New York City, how that the Ground Zero Mosque, I talked about that. I talked about the true nature of Islam. I read something the other day that said all Muslims are not terrorists, but all the terrorists who bombed and flew into and attacked us on 9/11 were Muslims. I thought that was a pretty enlightening sign there, something to think about. And I also showed last week from that verse how Mr. Obama has been a greater friend to the Muslim community than he has to the Christian or the Jewish community, even though he claims to be a Christian. And I used that verse last week, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both the people that would do that, or a person who would do both of those things, are an abomination to the Lord. And that means to literally be a stench in the nostrils of God. And then I was looking for today, Proverbs chapter number 24, and I come across verse number 24, which basically says the same thing in a little different light. And so I'm going to use that today. It says, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. That means nations, the people of the different nations, they will hate the person that says unto the wicked that he is actually righteous. And I've been noticing the approval ratings of Mr. Obama are going down on a weekly basis. And I think it could have something to do with his justification of the wicked in this matter. He always, I mean, he's gone across the world and apologized for America to all the different Muslim nations, and he's come out against Israel, and it's no wonder that his approval ratings are going down. It's biblical that they would do so. But then the next verse, I like it as well. It says, but to them that rebuke him, and I guess I might fall under that category there, the Bible said, shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. So to those, I would say today, that oppose this phony hope and change stuff that's going on, I just say keep it up. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. But I want to talk today, moving along this morning, on the subject of the Bible and taxes, or what the Bible has to say about taxes. And I've covered some of these things before, but the Lord showed me something new that I want to get into and share with you today before time gets gone. And it does get gone quickly, as you know, if you listen in on a regular basis. But our county is in the middle of voting on a special referendum to raise the sales tax by a quarter of a cent. And that is going on right now in Watauga County. And maybe you've seen the signs beside the road, vote no to the sales tax increase August 31st. And then I've seen on the other side, vote yes to jobs and youth and something else it says down there I can't remember. And but my goal is not to get on here and say vote yes or vote no, but I would encourage everybody to go on your own fact-finding mission and find out the facts on whether to vote for this or not, and to go out and vote. You know, that's one thing we really suffer from in this country is just apathy, and people just don't care, and they don't get involved, and they don't know what the issues are, and they don't make informed decisions on anything that we have the opportunity to vote on. And so that's not my purpose today. I will say that this special referendum is costing us, the Watauga County taxpayers, $30,000. So to spend all that money, we need to go out and vote. If they'd have waited till November, I have it on good authority that it would have cost about $30. So that's a big difference. And we need to get out and vote. If you want to find out more about what's going on, last Friday's Watauga Democrat has a front page article, and the headline says, crowded conference, commissioner makes statement but takes no questions on referendum. And if you read about that, it tells what the referendum is all about and how that they didn't take any questions, and that upset some of them. And I guess they're getting the cue there from politics in Washington. You know, we're going to tell you what we're going to do, and don't ask us any questions, just do it. That sort of seems like the way that we go here. You know, I've heard recently more than one person has compared North Carolina politics to Chicago politics. And the more I study into it and look at it, I think that we're not very far off from what goes on in places like Chicago and New Jersey that are known for their crookedness. And in that press conference, they allowed no questions. But tonight at 5:30, there's going to be a press conference. I think it's at 5:30. And I got an email from the Boone Tea Party concerning this, but there's going to be a press conference from the no side. And it's going to be at the Watauga Administration Building. Dave is looking that up. I guess it might be on goblueridge.net, Dave. I don't know. But
I'm going to check it out.
Dave's going to check it out and get back to us on that, what time that is. But I do know that it was tonight at the Watauga County Administration Building, which is right beside the post office. So I say today, you know, get informed. And if you think we need two rec centers in Watauga County for $15 million and you'd be happy to foot the bill with higher taxes, then go out and vote for it. And if you think that's not a good idea in this economy and higher taxes and in the middle of what would be a depression if it were not for unemployment benefits, and probably will end up being a depression anyway, then go out and vote for it. Yesterday, on 8/23, Monday, the Winston-Salem Journal had a headline, said North Carolina faces $3 billion hole. And that's talking about in our budget that has to be fixed, or there has to be major cuts. Something has to happen by June of next year. And if I read the article yesterday, basically the answer was, guess what? More taxes, higher taxes. Stop the those that are supposed to be cut back or repealed or done away with. And so I don't think anybody would argue today that we're living in a time of taxes, taxes on every hand. But what I want to share with you, I want to use the first mentioned principle in the Bible when it comes to taxes. And this is where I found out some things that I'd never come across before. Now, I'm not using the word tribute or anything else. I just typed in the word tax and then searched for similar words. And I came up, there's four books in the Bible that have the specific word tax, taxed, taxeth, something along those lines. But the word tax is what I looked up. And I've said this before, if you want to find out anything significant about any subject, find the first place that it's mentioned in the Bible and you will find out something significant about that. It's called the first mentioned principle. And I've used that many, many times on this program, but I've never searched it out using the word tax. And I did that. It's found in four books in the Bible. It's mentioned eight different times in the Bible in four different places. First place you find the word tax in the Bible is 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse number 35. The Bible says, "And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted," that means he took, "he exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give it unto Pharaoh Necho." Now, I'm not going to take time to go into all the history behind this, but just a little summary of what was going on there is that the children of Israel were in bondage. They were in a position of weakness to Egypt. They were in danger of being overthrown by Egypt. They were in tribute to the country of Egypt. And Pharaoh commanded a payment. And the king Jehoiakim, he raised the money by taxing the people of the land. The Bible said, "But he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted," which means he took, "the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation." So the first thing we find out in the Bible concerning the word tax is that we find out that taxation is a form of slavery, because it was either you pay this tax or you're going to be overtaken and overrun by another country. It was basically a payoff to keep them safe. It was a payoff to secure their land. They were indebted, but not because of something they had gone out and bought or anything like that. They were in slavery. And so we find the nation of Israel here in slavery to Egypt, and the king taxed the people of the land. And let me say along those lines, we here in America have become slaves to one of the very things that our forefathers fought against when it came to the Revolutionary War and against Britain. One of the things that brought it to blows, we might say, was the issue of taxation. Taxation without representation, excessive taxation. That is exactly where we're at today. Our forefathers warned us many, many times about government spending, about government getting too big. George Washington said to contract new debts is not the way to pay for old ones. And that is exactly what our government is doing and has been doing. They're not trying to cut out expenses. They're spending, 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 contracting new debts. Thomas Jefferson said the maxim of buying nothing but what we had money in our pockets to pay for is a maxim which, of all others, lays the broadest foundation for happiness. We are far, far removed from that in our country. Thomas Jefferson said something else, and I've used this before, but I'm going to read it again. He said, to preserve the independence of the people, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. If we run into such debts as that we must be taxed in our meat and in our drink, in our necessaries and our comforts, in our labors and our amusements, for our callings and our creeds, as the people of England are, our people, like them, must come to labor 16 hours in the 24, give the earnings of 15 of these to the government for their debts and daily expenses, and the 16th being insufficient to afford us bread, we must live as they do now, on oatmeal and potatoes, have no time to think, no means of calling the mismanagers to account, but be glad to obtain subsistence by hiring ourselves to rivet their chains on the necks of our fellow sufferers. And that is exactly where we are today. Our country, when it was first set up, they did not pay income taxes. They were prohibited by the Constitution. They did not pay export taxes, which was prohibited by the Constitution. They did tax imports because the founders believed in free trade within our own borders and a system of tariffs on imported goods. And we pay taxes today. Oh my, it's ridiculous what goes on. Patrick Henry had this warning to us. He said, excisemen, which means the tax man, excisemen may come in multitudes, for the limitation of their numbers no man knows. They may, unless the general government be restrained by a bill of rights or some similar restriction, go into your cellars and rooms and search, ransack, and measure everything you eat, drink, and wear. And that is exactly where we are today. There is no end in sight to the taxation, to the many, many taxes that we have in this country. I heard it 50 cents on the dollar. I don't know exactly what the number is, but you think of all the taxes that we have in this country, and we certainly pay quite a few. I have a list of some of them, and just think about it. This is a form of slavery. Accounts receivable tax, building permit tax, CDL license tax, cigarette tax, corporate income tax, dog license tax, federal income tax, federal unemployment tax, fishing license tax, and food license tax, fuel permit tax, gasoline tax, hunting license tax, inheritance tax, interest expense, inventory tax, IRS interest charges, which is tax on tax, IRS penalties, liquor tax, luxury tax, marriage license tax, Medicare tax, property tax, real estate tax, road usage tax, service charge taxes, Social Security tax, sales tax, recreational vehicle tax, school tax, state income tax, state unemployment tax, telephone taxes, which if you look at your bill, there's several different taxes, surcharges, uses, fees, utility taxes, vehicle license, registration tax, vehicle sales tax, watercraft registration tax, well permit tax, workers' compensation tax, and on and on and on it goes. I found a little poem I wanted to share with you today. I found this years ago, and there's two versions of it. One of them's not so nice. This is the nice one. It says, taxes land, taxes wage, taxes bed on which he lays, taxes tractor, taxes mule. Teach him taxes is the rule. Taxes cow, taxes goat, taxes pants, taxes coat, taxes ties, taxes shirt, taxes work, taxes dirt. Taxes chew, taxes smoke, teach him taxes are no joke. Taxes car, taxes grass, tax the roads he must pass. Taxes food, taxes drink, tax him if he tries to think. Taxes sodas, taxes beers, if he cries, taxes tears. Tax his bills, tax his gas, tax his notes, tax his cash. Tax him good and let him know that after taxes he has no dough. If he hollers, tax him more, tax him till he's good and sore. Tax his coffin, tax his grave, tax the sod in which he lays. Put these words upon his tomb, taxes drove me to my doom. And when he's gone, we won't relax, we'll still come after inheritance tax. And so that's where we are in our country today. So the first time we find taxation in the Bible, it is linked with a form of slavery. And that's where we are today. Dave, did you find the...
I did. GoBlueRidge.net has an article about it. Sales tax opposition plans press conference. So the group, the Watauga County Citizens Opposed to the 2010 Sales Tax Increase Referendum Committee, catchy name, they're meeting Tuesday afternoon, 5:15 at the commissioner's meeting room. They've arranged to use the commissioner's meeting room for a press conference.
All right. That's today at 5:15. And right. We wish them all the best. I do, for one. Anyway, so number one place the tax is mentioned in the Bible is in reference to a form of slavery. The second place it's used in the Bible, and I'll have to move along quickly here, Daniel chapter 11 and verse 20, "Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle." Now, this is a scripture that you are not familiar with. You didn't learn it in Sunday school. It is a scripture that is referring to the time just before the rise of the Antichrist. It is literally talking about the days before the Antichrist will come upon the scene. And so the days before the Antichrist comes upon the scene, there will come a raiser of taxes, the Bible says. And it says that this raiser of taxes, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Now, I have done a lot of research, a lot of study about the Antichrist and his nature and how he'll come upon the scene and all these things. And literally, I would not rule out the possibility that Mr. Obama is the Antichrist. He may not be the Antichrist, but he is certainly, according to the Bible, would come in under that category of being an Antichrist. And I'm not going to get into all that. You can go back and listen to last week's radio broadcast if you'd like to. But nevertheless, before the last days, during the last days, there's going to come an Antichrist. The days preceding the Antichrist coming up on the scene, there's going to be a huge push to raise taxes. This person that comes along who is a raiser of taxes, the Bible says there that he is going to be cut off, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. This raiser of taxes, whoever he may be, he's going to die. And the Bible doesn't say in anger or in battle. I don't know how he's going to die, but evidently it's not going to be from being assassinated or something along those lines. It's not going to be in battle, but he's going to die. The second place taxes are mentioned in the Bible, it is mentioned in connection with the destruction, the death of a politician. And I think it could be proven historically that the people, when given a choice, will take the T away from the tax and give the politician the rest of it, which is the axe. I believe that it could be proven historically that politicians who push raising taxes, although at first they dupe a great many into saying, oh, this is going to work, this is a great idea, in the end, they all get the axe. It ends up destroying them, and they end up being a reproach to the people because they ended up oppressing the people. Now, the third time, I've got to move on along. This is the most famous place that tax is mentioned in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter number 2. And it's in reference to the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." There was a worldwide tax at the first coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, and I pointed this out before as well, there is a talk of a world tax again. And I believe there's two things that point to the fact that surely Christ must come soon. Number one, there's this push for a worldwide government. There's a push for a worldwide tax, this carbon tax that you hear. That is the biggest phony, fluke, bunch of phooey that there ever was. It is literally putting tax upon the air that you breathe. And the whole world is trying to be pulled into being part of this worldwide tax. That, and when the Lord Jesus came, there was the murder of infants, which we have going on in this day and time as well. So, of course, one side, it's sort of gloomy and bad to think about. But on the other side, if you are a child of God, if you're saved, if you know that you've been born again, then there is hope in the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the upside to it. And then I've got to quickly move on. The fourth time that the word tax is mentioned in the Bible is in Acts chapter 5 in verse 37. It says, after this man rose up Judas. Now, Judas in the Bible is a traitor. He's the only person in the Bible that's referred to as being the traitor, the only individual in the Bible. And so this man, Gamaliel, that's who it's talking about in Acts chapter number 5. He's making a prophecy. This is another passage of scripture you probably didn't learn in Sunday school, but it says, after this man rose up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing. And then it says, in the days of the taxing. And then it says about this man, Judas, and drew away much people after him. He also perished. He died. Second time that death is associated with the taxer, you might say. The Bible says he also perished, and all, that means everybody who followed him, all, as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And so all those that followed during the time of this taxing, they were all destroyed. They were all dispersed. So a quick summary of taxes in the Bible, if we could sum it up in four words, what we would find in the Bible from what I've shared this morning, we come up with, number one, there's slavery. Number two, there's death. Number two, there's an evil ruler that wants to tax the world. And number four, there's destruction of all who willfully follow after that which would tax. Before 1913 in this country, there was no IRS and any of these other taxes that I mentioned, that great big long list of. And we were also the most prosperous nation in the world at that time. We had the greatest manufacturing. We had the greatest product. We had the greatest people. But taxes have literally enslaved us, chained our productivity, stole our income. The IRS is the largest criminal organization in the world. What goes on? What is being done to us? My soul, it breaks my heart. But anyway, our time is quickly slip by today. We've got another minute or so left in the broadcast this morning. But if you'd like to find the tax poem, all you have to do is go to the internet and type in the tax poem, and they're everywhere. And so, because I know how it is, sometimes you read something and somebody will say, I'd like to have a copy of that. Just you can, or if you don't have it, get in touch with me. I'll get you a copy of this. But anyway, it's pretty interesting if you wanted to share that. So remember the press conference this afternoon, 5:15 at the commissioner's room. Did you say that's in the room right beside the courthouse?
Right.
Downstairs is where the meeting place is. So a lot going on. Our time is quickly gone. Once again, remember this Sunday night, fifth Sunday night fellowship meeting, 7:00. Brother Tommy Worth is going to be with us. Come out and be with us. Bring your young people. Brother Tommy is really, I've heard a lot of good things about him. I'm looking forward to it. All right, Dave, I appreciate your help. Thanks for looking that up.
Thank you very much, Wynn. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.